Good afternoon, and may the Lord give you his peace. This is Father Stosh Daly on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with your daily message of hope. On this Monday, Holy Mother the Church invites us to remember in our charity and in our prayers the holy souls in purgatory. Joining me today is Father Michael from the Marians of the Immaculate Conception in the Scholastic House in Steubenville, House of Studies, I should say. Father Michael, welcome to the Daily Message of Hope on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This is great to be with you.
Father, you belong to the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, a beautiful congregation, a Marian congregation of clerics, religious. Can you give me a little rundown and all of our listeners about the Marians of the Immaculate Conception?
Sure. So I think most people would know us from our involvement with the Divine Mercy Message and Devotion, which of course started back in 1941 with St. Faustina.
Yeah.
But we actually go back quite a bit before that. So people are rather surprised when they hear that our congregation was actually founded in the 1600s in Poland, of all places. And only later, obviously in the 1940s, did we pick up on being the official promoters of the message and devotion of the Divine Mercy.
And how did that happen? How did you guys become the official promoters in that highly coveted treasure trove of awesome spirituality?
It's actually a really beautiful story. So, like I said, our congregation was founded in 1670 by St. Stanislaus Papczynski. And by the late 1800s, early 1900s, we were actually reduced down to one member because of the Bolshevik Revolution and a lot of the persecutions going on in Eastern Europe. And so a young man who we actually schooled, later became a bishop, George Matulaitis. And when he heard of our plight, he actually got permission from the Vatican to enter our congregation. And he basically renovated us, renewed us underground in secret seminaries. And he was ultimately appointed the Archbishop of Vilnius in Lithuania.
Oh.
And that, of course, is where St. Faustina was located at the time of a lot of her apparitions of our Lord. And one of his priests, a priest of the Diocese of Vilnius, Michael Sapochko, who's now Blessed Michael Sapochko, was a military chaplain. And our Archbishop, now Blessed George Matulaitis, called him back to the diocese to serve as a diocesan priest, and that's when he met St. Faustina, and then became her spiritual director, was right at the center of asking her, first of all, to write the diary, which is why we have the diary these days, and also was the one that commissioned the image of Divine Mercy and began spreading the devotion to Divine Mercy. And it was actually one of our priests in 1941, who was a Polish priest but was stationed in America, was back in Poland and met Father Michael. And Father Michael, of course, this is the midst of World War II. There's no way to promote this message at the time in Europe. And so he actually, in one sense, commissions our priest, Father Jasimbowski, to basically spread this devotion worldwide. And so he took it back to America, really going through a very perilous journey across Siberia into Japan and then into California and then across the country. And that really was the beginning of our involvement with Divine Mercy.
The segment you're listening to is your Daily Message of Hope. This is Father Stosh Daly, joined by Father Michael from the Marians of the Immaculate Conception. Father Michael, you said that the congregation over time had been reduced to one member.
Yes.
Now, how many? I know you have more than one because there's two of you in the room with me, so I know we're doing better than that. But I know that there's many young men who are pursuing holiness by joining the Marians of the Immaculate Conception. How many of you are there in the United States right now?
In the United States, there's about 80 of us, I believe.
Wow.
30 of which are in formation. We're really a small province.
There's a very young one, too.
Yes.
With that many in formation. That's awesome.
And we're about 500 worldwide, so we're still really small, and it really is amazing to see what our Lord and our Lady do with very small things.
But I mean, like, the thing is, like, the Holy Spirit inspired St. Gabriel Radio to have, you know, this daily message of hope. I mean, that's got to be a source of inspiration to our listeners to think that a religious family, a congregation, would be brought down to one member, and then the Lord would bring it back to this much life. And not just this much life, but to entrust it with an incredible spirituality. I mean, obviously you just shared that, you know, there's so much that the Lord has entrusted your community with regard to the message of Divine Mercy, a message that's very relevant for our times. But there's also other pillars of your spirituality as a congregation, which are really incredible and fascinating. What are some of the other dimensions of your congregation of priests that people would benefit to know about?
Sure. So our congregation really is right at the center of the mystery of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mm. Our founder had a deep, deep devotion to Our Lady. In fact, he actually made a blood oath to defend the Immaculate Conception unto death.
Oh, wow.
And so when he founded us, he actually put us in white habits to represent the purity of the Immaculate Conception. And so that really was at the core, and it still is at the core of who we are. In fact, we look at the Immaculate Conception as the lens by which we look at all of reality. Mm-hmm. We look at our ministry this way. We look at our work in the church this way.
Yeah.
So that's really at the core, but also there is the not just simply a devotion, but really at the service of the holy souls.
Sure.
Those who of the faithful who passed away and who were in the friendship of God when they died.
Yeah.
But they weren't perfected. They still had some, sin, some venial sin on their souls. Yeah. And so of course the church teaches that there is this place called purgatory where people who pass away but are not yet perfectly purified and ready to enter into the glory of God have this really great work of mercy that God gives them to purify and make ready their souls to enter into heaven. But of course, the souls can't pray for themselves.
Sure.
They're basically really the most needy of all of us, of all the faithful, the church suffering. And so we faithful, the church militant here on earth, we're called to actually pray for them, to offer sacrifices for them, to do works of mercy for them, and that our works here can actually help them get into heaven.
Totally. Your description of the holy souls, it reminds me of the catechesis on the souls in purgatory given by now St. John Paul II, when he said, he asked the church to remember that the souls in purgatory are both holy and poor. They're holy because they've left this life and they're on their way to heaven. So they're closer to heaven than we are in some sense. But they're poor because they're totally, absolutely, completely dependent upon us for prayers.
Yes.
And they're totally dependent in their poverty upon us for prayers in the Holy Mass, for the Rosary, Chaplet of Divine Mercy. I mean, any act of charity, any grace that could be offered up for their benefit, they're totally dependent upon us. And in that dependency, that's why we can say the poor souls in purgatory.
Yes.
But at the same time, we can say the holy souls in purgatory. It is a tragedy. I mean, on the one hand, it's incredibly beautiful that your congregation of priests and brothers has that beautiful charism, that pillar in your spirituality. On the other hand, it's like I want to offer you condolences because it's like so much of the world has lost that treasure of praying for the dead,
yes,
praying for the faithful departed. And yet, your congregation is infused with this powerful love and devotion to the Immaculate Conception. Your congregation is entrusted with this incredibly pertinent message of divine mercy for our age. And then you also have this beautifully ingrained sensitivity towards the need to pray for those who have died. So I'm confident in thinking that you guys never get to be bored in community prayers.
There's always work to be done.
There's always, for sure. You know, as you're joining me in this program, and I ask all of the people who come on, you're thinking about the people who, on this Monday, the church is asking us to pray, maybe do an act of charity, in our charity to pray for the souls in purgatory. It's the first day of the week, first day of the work week. People are heading home from work. Maybe some people are heading into work. There's that kind of refreshing excitement because it's Monday, but then there's also that, oh no, it's Monday. I have four more days of this.
Yes.
And of course, it is what it is, but what comes to your mind thinking of, Our Lady, and especially the title, the Immaculate Conception, thinking of the great fruit that comes about from the divine mercy, thinking about the holy obligation, the holy responsibility, maybe even we dare say the privileged burden of praying for those who have died. Someone sitting in their car and they're like, I just have to make it through the next 5 minutes. I don't have time to think about eternity. I don't have time to think about tomorrow, which is Tuesday, I just need to get through this 5 minutes. I need to make it home. I need to get off the freeway. I need to make it through this intersection. They're stressed. They're broken. They're stretched thin. Maybe they're sitting in their car in their driveway. They don't want to go inside the front door because they don't know what's waiting for them, and they don't know how much they can handle. You know, knowing the incredible reality of God and His mercy and His love, especially in your religious life, what's that message you would just throw out to the listeners?
I think what strikes me is that the very simple truth that we are made to be a gift to others, that we actually find our very purpose for living in being a gift for others, and that this is the countercultural message, right? Mm-hmm. That our culture says it's all about you. It's all about your joy, your happiness, your vacation, your whatever, right? But how many people have followed that philosophy and have ended up at a dead-end road?
Mm.
And yet the message of the church, the message of the saints, is that no, it's when you give up your life is when you find it. Mm. When you have someone to live for, be it a child, be it a spouse, whoever it is, when you have somebody to live for and to give your life for, that's when you find real joy. And so for those that are in their car right now and in those exact situations, I would say, really make this an opportunity to give yourself away, because that's the real truth of the matter is that when you give yourself away, you actually find true joy.
Beautiful. To all of our listeners here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio on this Monday, we encourage you to turn towards the Lord as we begin this week, as we head into the rest of what's left of today, and that we ask Him to give you His peace.